Over the last 20 years, I think we are seeing a very major societal churning that is taking place. And that societal churning is about the idea of India. The societal churning is not just about an event or an episode or a person, but it is to create a new idea of India. It is to create an India where the grievances of history are addressed. To do that, a whole series of actions are taking place, including that of hostility to freedom of expression issues. M.F. Hussain was the iconic case, but it's a case which is part of a history of banning, starting from the 1950s through the Salman Rushdie case, 1980s. To more recently that of M.F. Hussain. So I was saying M.F. Hussain is the most iconic case, and it's iconic because it involves many things. It involves the visual arts, it involves a celebrated painter, it involves a certain idea of the nation, it involves self-definition of religions, it involves an engagement with India's great epic tradition. So there is a whole series of issues that are involved. And I think it's a difficult case, more difficult than other instances of censorship of a film or a poem or a book or an article, because it involves so many levels. And therefore, I think contemporary democratic India has to take a position. And my work is to try and make India engage with these levels so that we can take a position.
Well, the European Prize for Urban Public Space collects examples and best practices of public spaces in Europe, urban interventions that have been improving the quality of life and the democratic life of cities in different parts of Europe. One example would be the remodelation of the square of the ghetto in Krakow. This is where the ghetto square is where the people used to gather the Jews before sending them to Auschwitz after the Second World War. And there has been a very interesting and sensitive intervention by a group of architects and artists where they have gathered different chairs as an homage to the Jews that were sent to Auschwitz. And before that, they were gathered in the square with all their belongings, their luggages, chairs, dressings, etc. so that it's not a monumental memoir of the Jews of the Holocaust, but rather an ordinary a way of remembering an extraordinary event through ordinary objects.
Yes, I would say so, because for this particular case, it is really important to understand the context in the city of Dresden, which on the one hand has this whole history and also tradition of memory of the Second World War, because it was really seriously destroyed at the end of the war. And there have been different traditions during the time of East Germany and then after the unification to commemorate the destruction of the city of Dresden. And of course today, or more recently, Dresden is really a city very negatively known for its strong populist nationalist movement called Pegida, who also claim a different kind of memory, or you could also say a kind of erasure of memory concerning the Second World War. And so what this monument installation of Halbuni did was to claim a consideration or reconsideration of the ways we commemorate, on the one hand, the Second World War, but also in relation to more recent conflicts like the war in Syria, which of course is a problematic in this right-wing nationalist atmosphere that you find in Dresden. So it is something very provocative in that sense, and it brings in different layers actually of collective memory. So to today, who participates in creating a collective memory? Is it only up to Germans, native Germans, to talk about collective memory concerning the war? Or did it change today? Do we need to consider more?